Our second reading comes from Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 10 through 21. You can follow along in your pew Bibles, though I didn't bring the bulletin up with me, so you can look at the bulletin for the page number. This is Moses talking, presumably Moses. Listen to the word of God. I stayed on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, as I had done the first time. And once again, the Lord listened to me. The Lord was unwilling to destroy you. The Lord said to me, "Get up, go on your journey at the head of the people, that they may go in and occupy the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. So now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees that I am commanding you today for your own well-being. Although heaven and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth with all that is in it, yet the Lord set his heart in love on your ancestors and chose you, their descendants after them, out of all of the peoples as it is today. Circumcise then the foreskin of your heart and do not be stubborn any longer. For the Lord your God is God of God and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God. Him alone you shall worship. In him you shall hold fast. By his name you shall swear. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things that your own eyes have seen. Your ancestors went down to Egypt, 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars in heaven." The word of the Lord. Last weekend, last Sunday, I wasn't with you because I was in the Bay Area in California celebrating my grandfather's 99th birthday. In many ways, for our family, it was like having Thanksgiving 2 weeks early. We had 36 relatives in attendance, coming as far as Wuhan and Shanghai in China, one from Paris, a family from Rhode Island, a family from Baltimore, our little bunch in Arlington, and many, many more from across California. We replaced the turkey with Peking duck at dinner, the potatoes with homemade pot stickers at lunch, and green bean casserole with a slow-cooked fish head soup with winter melon. It's really quite good. The abundance of on the table was great. It was like Thanksgiving. For us, it was a time of great celebration to celebrate my grandfather, the Dr. Peiyang Cheng, who in his 99 years has taught us to cherish all of the blessings of life and to give God thanks for, as the children said, for everything. Today is also a feast day in our church calendar. It is Christ the King Sunday, the Sunday where we as a church give thanks and praise for the sovereignty and the power of Christ and the gospel message. So today, at the beginning of our secular calendar, which emphasizes abundance, we take a moment to ponder the juxtapositions between the message of the gospel and all of the different messages of the world. From our first reading today that Mary now read, these words from Jesus to Pilate once again. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." So what is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is not a noun, it's a verb. God's kingdom is not something stagnant where we wait in anticipation for the next life to come. Something moving, present here and now. It isn't a thing like a package we order on Amazon waiting for this big box to come. It's an action. Remember the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It's Hebrew parallelism. One is synonymous with the other. Your kingdom come means your will be done. So the kingdom of God is God's continual presence on earth, everywhere, and in everything. So we pray to God, your will be done this day, because you, O God, of ancient and of new, are present amongst us. For many of us, this past week has been a hard one. I've been pondering what I've been saying today, and I, like you, I've been searching and looking through news sources, a lot on social media. Pictures of victims from the terror attacks on Beirut and Paris. And of course, there are more images from other attacks in Kenya, Somalia, Iraq, Syria, on Friday from Mali, and there are other places too. I spent a lot of time this week looking at images of refugees fleeing from Syria, particularly of the places where children now sleep who once had a home. These are among leaves or on pavement in front of a train station, not a bed with a pillow. Or pictures that where the children say they don't want to go to sleep because that's when the nightmares come. I read posts on Facebook from friends of ours from Burma who came here as refugees, and they are giving thanks to this country for their welcome that they've received here. But beneath that thanks, hidden between the message, I've also seen a current of wonder, a current of fear about what if they're no longer welcome here? What would they do? I read about those who want to close all borders to refugees fleeing from majority Muslim countries, and other public leaders, civic groups, and churches who want to welcome the stranger fleeing violence and call him or her a friend. And I read about fear. From the Public Religion Research Institute, they write, quote, Americans are anxious about a lot of things, including the direction of the country, their own economic prospects, and the level of racial tensions and crime in their communities, issues that differ substantially by race and ethnicity. Moreover, 63% are bothered when they encounter immigrants who do not speak English, and 62% say immigrants are a burden on the country because they take our jobs, housing, and healthcare. And I have to say, this week, with all of these images, this terror from what seems like another world that we are in both contributing to and helping from, I'm afraid too. Like you, perhaps I fear the unknowns. I fear violence from oceans away. I fear not being in control. I fear not being able to protect those I love. In these times, it would be so easy to be paralyzed by fear, and I don't want to be. And that's one of the reasons why I am a Christian. At the very core of my being, I believe that the kingdom of God is present with us right now, and that God is continually present to all of us in the midst of all of it. God has already suffered on the cross on our behalf, having experienced the deepest agony of what it means to be a human. And God continues to stand alongside us, holding us up and suffering in and alongside all of us. This is the God who teaches me not to fear the fear. That's the message from Deuteronomy today. Our text, it comes from a series of sermons presumably preached by Moses to a people who had undergone great change. Being delivered from slavery in Egypt, to wandering in the desert, to approaching the promised land. Just prior to the text today, Moses reminds the people of when he went up to Mount Sinai for those 40 days to receive the law of God, and that they, in their fear, had built an idol out of gold. So Moses comes down and says that the God of ages past and present is not a God who abandons. So Moses preaches to the people that even in times of great stress, in times where things look like they're going all wrong, the people of God must return to the covenant commands, the promises written in stone, binding together law and love. This part from the Deuteronomy passage has been shared rather widely this week, so I reshare it with you. Deuteronomy 10 from verses 17 through 19. For the Lord your God is a God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. In the midst of suffering, in the midst of stress, fears, chaos, our covenant command, the command of law based fully on God's generous love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. It's a love that is countercultural. We hear it here a lot, but it is countercultural. It is a love that embraces the kingdom, a love that deeply embraces the stranger, considers the good for those who are considered the least of these. It's a love that embraces those who suffer, does not ignore them, suffer without shelter, without opportunity, without the presence of peace. This is a message I thought about a lot last weekend as I watched my grandfather interact with all of our family. We're gathered from a lot of different places with a lot of different things on our minds and a lot of different perceived notions of how we need to impress each other and him. So at times things can got a little chaotic. Perhaps when there was just a little too much going on, when things were getting a little bit busy, he would just sit down and take a moment and close his eyes. In these moments, which I believe he's been doing for his entire life, it seemed as though he took a moment to clear his head and find a moment for peace. I believe he's been looking to live into God's kingdom of peace for his entire life. He grew up in the 1930s in China, a time of great change coming from all sides. No longer the China of the emperors, but a China of warlords and competing factions and brewing power by both the nationalist and communist forces. In the midst of outward conflict, he frequently speaks of a stable and supportive family who would gather around a table like this one and share together and give thanks. They were a family that valued tradition, each other, and education. And in their education, they sent their children to a Methodist school where I believe they learned about the love of God. They learned that from their parents, from each other, from their neighbors, and that peace comes from action. Action where we take care of one another. War came, and both of my grandparents, now married to each other, spent their young years being witness to and victims of atrocity, coming both from within China and from the warfare of World War II. Their first child, my eldest aunt, was born in the midst of all of this conflict. War ended, as you know, but of course the violence did not. So my grandparents found themselves on the wrong side of those who are now in power in China. I tell you this story to tell you that my grandparents, along with their two oldest daughters, came to this country as refugees, sponsored by a Catholic family who lived in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And they speak of what warmth they received. And it was difficult to be different and to be received, and they did receive different tensions. But the feeling as a whole was a feeling of warmth. So my grandfather said, tell this story, let other people know. And of course, you know, you follow your grandfather when he's 99. You have to do what he says. So I'm telling you this story. He also expressed such concern for the refugees in Syria. He could see such commonalities, the fleeing of violence, of trying to protect one's own children, of the many unknowns of where one would go and where, how one would be perceived. He also saw the same fears emerging in welcoming people who come from different experiences. In 99 years of life, many which were rather hard, I would understand if he became rather embittered and just wanted to close in. But rather than that, I see in him a courage to find a peace in the places where we least expect to find peace. In him, I see a witness to how to transcend all of that chaos and the expectations of the world by taking small and purposeful moments throughout the day to become centered and to seek after the still and steady presence of God. This Thanksgiving, my hope is that we will all look for a place of peace. And this peace is an action. Sometimes this peace might start inward. We might get frenzied while we're shopping or traveling or when we're cooking what we feel like needs to be a perfect meal. In those moments of frenzy, perhaps we will just close our eyes. Take a moment to give God thanks. Not general thanks, but specific thanks of how God has blessed us this day, this week, this year. Or perhaps when events in the world create fear or anger or pit us one against another, we might too take a moment to give thanks for the beauty and the diversity of creation and the courage and resilience of humanity. Especially during the season of Thanksgiving, our common charge as people of faith is to hear and follow these ancient words. O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? Only to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And in following this charge, through our actions, we say we believe in God's peaceable kingdom, continually active and present in this world. And for God's continual presence, we give thanks, praying, your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen.